Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
8-1. Snowman. Never want to give up a snowman.
You don't.
It's like when you see it on a golf card. What'd you get this whole snowman? I put up a lot of snowmans.
I was going to say. Yeah,
I do put up a lot
honestly,
of snowmans.
Honestly, not the worst hole I've ever had. I can tell you that.
On a par 5, you're feeling great about a snowman.
Yeah.
Too many snowmans on a par 4, though. It's a hard day at the office.
And Nick, you heard that right. Don't you dare isolate that. couple of programming notes before we get to some Bruins talk here on a Bruins Thursday. It's been a busy, busy day. Big news day, 1A and 1B, apologies to the Bruins, have been Bill Belichick going to the University of North Carolina and the Red Sox swinging a deal for Garrett Crochet. How do you feel about it and are they done? Two programming notes for WEEI Afternoons. One we were surmising about and the other we told you about already. Seth Wickersham will be joining WEEI Afternoons today at 2:30. His latest is up now on Bill. Basically, the NFL doesn't want him and Bill's sending the NFL a big F you. He's disgusted with how they've handled it. And he's going to college to prove a point. They'll talk to Wickersham at 2:30. Arcandon Hart will also be taking the Bill Belichick press conference today live at 2 o'clock. So you'll hear Bill Belichick's introductory press conference.
Yeah, see if he sounds any different.
See if he sounds any different, if he's playing the game with the media. Maybe you'll hear Jordan in the middle of that press conference. Yep. Maybe. But you'll get both in the first hour of WEEI Afternoon. So I'd be listening live on the Odyssey app. I wouldn't go anywhere. I would stay tuned there right at 2. Listen to Wickersham at 2:30. Good stuff there. Meanwhile, somebody who I don't think ever gets a snowman on the golf course.
No.
And hopefully, I don't think you give up too many on the ice either, is Andrew Raycroft of Nesson. And he's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning. The name to know when your drains don't flow. Any snowmen there, Razor?
Well, I'm talking to you guys right now, so I had a few more than I needed to throughout my career. I'd still be playing, but it happens. It happens to everybody. That was ugly the other night.
Okay, yeah, it was. You say it happens. It happened to the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman the other night. We went into that game going, okay, it's a good test for the Bruins. They've been winning games under Joe Sacco, but it's been against lesser competition. Here's a good test for them. And they didn't do so hot in that test. What'd you take away from the game?
So, no, you're right. There isn't – listen, I understand that I'm the big homer here. I get it. There is a difference in giving up – like the Carolina game, they gave up 8 goals. That was different than this game in that in Carolina they gave up 6 goals in the first 28 minutes of the game, and it was good night, Irene. This one – they had a pretty good late second period. They cut it to 3-1. I'm not saying they were going to win that game, but it got out of hand late with the fighting and Winnipeg piling on late because they were upset about the fighting, and Swayman gave up a couple ugly ones in the third. My point is it's not the same beatdown that they received a couple times earlier in the season.
You know, I'm looking through the Andrew Raycroft game logs. I don't see any snowmen.
Nice.
I don't see a single snowman in there. Couple sevens. You know, that's to happen. But, like,
seven, five games, you're still in it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you got a good offense that year.
Yeah, fire wagon hockey, yeah.
But, like, what does that do to a goalie? Like, does Swayman just completely put that behind him? Or, like, how long are you thinking about 8 goals? I know some were on the power play, but even still, like, you're in net for 8 goals. How quickly can you move on from that?
Yeah, you feel it in the going into the next game, certainly. Your numbers take a massive beating, of course. Like, whatever his number, you know, he was getting his numbers back on track, and then they go all the way kind of back to where they were before the coaching change, and you got to pile those back up. But essentially, yesterday's practice probably isn't that much fun. You're like, oh boy, I got to work. And you get over that mentally. And then the next game you get into it. Okay. I hope I don't give up 3. And like, I just don't want bad things to happen. I don't want goals to go off my D man's leg. I don't want to give up a goal from behind the red line, like just get back into the rhythm. So typically it's that first period. You have a good first period in the next game and all the 8 goal stuff goes away mentally.
After the game, Brad Marchand said, you could see this one, I'm paraphrasing, but you could see this one coming. We haven't been practicing well, et cetera, et cetera. I love Marchand. I didn't love that comment, Razor, because you're kind of the one in charge of how the team practices. It's the coach and the captain, right? So what'd you make of those comments?
Well, I think it, of course it is. I think you as a coach and a captain, though, you can also try to get everybody on board. I'm sure that practice, Brad Marchand was still competing harder than everybody else. That's what he's done his entire career. But you can't always drag everybody into the fight. And I think those words were more directed at yesterday's practice and today's morning skate and tonight's game, in that, all right, we deserved it. We it's not like we felt great going into, or we were doing the right things and we got unlucky. We deserve this one, and we got to get back on track. Again, they had with the 100 ceremony game on December, that was last Sunday. It was just one of those weeks where you could see something like that catching up. And when you go 7-2 as well, again, part of that honeymoon phase of the coaching where everything just kind of goes right and falls into place. This is a reset.
You know, when we last talked to you, we were talking about the goalie rotation. And since Joe Sacco has taken over, it's been, you know, 2 for Swayman, 1 for Corposalo, 2-1-2-1. They kind of went away from that, and they went 3 consecutive starts for Swayman. And I know Winnipeg's a good team, and maybe they had that one circled. They wanted to go with their number one goalie, even though he's not playing like a number one goalie. Do you think we should see more Corposalo? Because when he's been given a chance, he has played well this year.
Yeah, he's been great. And I think the schedule lines up that we see him, again, once a week for the next 3 weeks. So I would expect him tonight. Again, what's that, 9:30 out there? So
10.
We'll hear it in a couple hours.
Late game. 10.
I would Yeah, believe me. I mean 9:30 in the morning right now. Believe me. I know.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Yeah.
I know you'll be tuned in at 1:30 for the
morning. You know us, Razor. You know us well. Yeah. That's us.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So I think we see Corposalo tonight, and then next week will be interesting if they go to a rotation, right, if he plays in Calgary next week, or if he gets the game at home against Buffalo on the way back. So I'm curious how next week looks, but this week I think you see a rotation and go from there. But certainly with a new coach and a guy who hasn't lost with the new coach against the guy who, you know, if there's another poor outing from Jeremy, I think you can see somewhere in here where, you know what, we're going to let Corposalo's leash extend a little bit.
So we're talking to Andrew Raycroft and Nesson, joining us here on a Bruins Thursday, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. They've already changed their coach. You have to wonder if a hockey trade could be in the cards. I know the deadline is a ways away, but I was reading Greg Wyshynski today, kind of a trade deadline primer or an early deadline primer. He says an NHL executive texted him recently and asked Chris Kreider for Brad Marchand, who says no. And
I mean,
you're already giggling at it, but could they look at the idea of moving Marchand at some point?
I don't see it. I laugh with it. Yeah, you know, it's just that would be massive. Like that would be the most for that original six type trade to each other. That would be something else. So that would certainly be a groundbreaking trade. That's good. Good job by Greg for everyone to read that one, right? I don't see it. I think he's the captain for a reason. He's on Team Canada, Four Nations. I think there's other pieces that are failing at certain times and probably need to be addressed, but I don't think having Brad not on this roster makes them better in any way. If they were they had no chance of making the playoffs, full rebuild, I would be maybe I'd go along with it, but not in the scenario that they think they can win. You want Brad Marchand on your team.
As an aside, does Chris Kreider get traded this year? Because I've seen hockey writers like very split on it. Some are like, there's no way the Rangers trade him, and others are like, yeah, he's probably gone.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know those guys well enough. I know Chris Kreider's numbers going to the Raptors in New York, but they've gassed Henrik Lundqvist too. Like the New York Rangers, they just traded their captain away. They're in trouble. So, you know, the Bruins look like they've gone undefeated this season compared to the Rangers right now. my guess is Kreider doesn't go anywhere. But again, that would be, cause again, it would just be such a massive trade. We haven't seen these trades, guys. I guess that's where I go to. Like, I don't remember a big name superstar getting traded for another superstar in forever in this league. And that's why I guess I'm a little skeptical. It does sound fun and exciting, but I just don't know if, if GMs really have the guts to pull those kinds of things off right now.
Okay. He's Andrew Raycroft of Nesson. You can check him out tonight, late one, in Seattle against the Kraken. You can check out his work on Twitter at Andrew Raycroft. Razor, we appreciate the time. Every Bruins Thursday. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome, guys. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Razor.
All right. Andrew Raycroft joining us here.
Yeah, you got to stay up late.
On WEEI, it is a late one.
10 tonight, 10 Saturday, and then back-to-back nines. Well, last night was 8, so 8, you sort of like ease into it, and then just late.
I like how he says Calgary.
Calgary.
I got to work on that.
You'll get there.
I got to work on that.
You get that. That's when the guys who know puck say Calgary.
Yeah, well, Canadians. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
well, they know puck.
Yeah, no, it's true. No snowmen for Razor.
Not that I could find. I was doing a quick run-through of his game logs. A few touchdowns with the extra point, but no snowmans.
A few touchdowns, yep. And then some with the extra point.
Correct.
But no snowmen.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
All right, good for him. I mean, yeah, it's sort of a, hey, I never did that. Sort of humble brag there.
Very good.
Again, I know I've been guilty of a few too many of those on the golf course.
You're talking about the Calder winner from 04.
He probably didn't do it here. Exactly. He won the Calder.
Yeah,
the
true. 617-779-7937. A lot of Pats talk on the show today. A lot of Red Sox talk as well. Let's get back to Garrett Crochet. We talked to Craig Breslow earlier today about the addition. Is he worth it, given some of the red flags? A lot of talent, but red flags as well. We'll get into that next.
This is Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Rafael Devers is our third baseman, and we're really excited about that. I think last year we saw some improvement in terms of the way he was able to move, particularly to his left, which had not been as comfortable for him as to his right. And then toward the middle of the season, after there was a stretch where he almost single-handedly carried the team for a number of weeks, he had knee injury, two shoulder injuries. I think that affected him probably more than he was willing to let on, because he wanted to play every day, wanted to do whatever it is that he could to help our team win. And so he is working hard right now. We've obviously made some changes to our coaching staff and feel like we're going to get the best out of him.
That was Craig Breslow earlier today here on Jones and Keefe. Easily the most direct answer he gave to any questions. Rafael Devers is our third baseman.
Yeah, he sure is.
I don't love it, and I don't know that I totally believe it, but he's on the record saying that very definitively.
Good range to his left, he said.
He was much better last year than it had been. He had struggled with it before, which I had never noticed. He was really throwing around the leather at third base, I thought.
But not to go crazy, not to go deep inside all of the advanced numbers and everything that there are with baseball. If I just said he's the worst defensive third baseman in baseball.
Yep.
Pretty accurate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you might get somebody from the woodwork being like, actually, like, there's a guy from, like, whatever team that, like, his defensive VORP is this. You're like, yeah, but overall, like, whether it's just errors, whether it's, like, literally defensive war, if you want to use that one, you know, just range, like, getting to different balls, like, yeah, everything about
he's it. He's the worst.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't think it's crazy to talk about him playing another position,
me
but
neither.
For Cora and Breslow to be so adamant, especially when Alex Bregman's a free agent, and Alex Bregman's a name that has been out there. Obviously, Cora wants Bregman, but even Cora's like, yeah, I don't play him second base. The guy just want a gold glove at third base. But it's got to be, we just paid a ton of money to Devers, which suddenly isn't looking like as much money.
No,
so could you justify him being a DH now, considering what Juan Soto and others are making?
I would justify it, period, by saying he sucks at third.
Yeah.
You might get more out of his bat at DH.
Yeah, focus on hitting, and you don't have to worry about getting hurt in the field.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That, especially that second thing, there might be something to him focusing on hitting, too. And I don't even have to worry about playing the field, and I can just worry about hitting 1,000% of the time. But yeah, you don't get him dinged up like you did last year. I mean, Breslow said he was playing through an injury. Well, you're less likely to get injured if you're not playing the field. So I would just say I would justify it that way. But my guess is the reason Cora and Breslow are so adamant that he's the third baseman is because they know the owner doesn't want to pay him $300 million to hit. He's paying him $300 million to play third base. So that's my guess. And if you missed any of our interview with Craig Breslow, it's on the Odyssey app. Great thing to have this holiday season. A lot of driving. You want that on your phone. You can tune into WEEI Afternoons today. Listen to the Bill Belichick press conference, introductory press conference at Chapel Hill, right at 2 o'clock. They're also going to talk to Seth Wickersham at 2:30. Our full Breslow interview is also up on YouTube. Just subscribe. You can follow along there. The full interview all of our questions, some of which you wanted to answer, like that one.
Yeah.
Some of which not so much. We believe it or not, we both are big fans of the Garrett Crochet deal.
Yeah, I like it even more after thinking about it because, like, we, as this whole process was playing out, we talked about all the free agents and the likely trade candidates. We all kind of ranked them. Like, you like Bregman more than I do. I like Burns a little bit more than you do. But, like, we like both guys. Yeah. And, like, we're kind of, like, power ranking all the different players. And I liked Garrett Crochet. I knew there were red flags. It was weird last year at the trade deadline when it came out that he would not pitch in the bullpen and he wouldn't pitch, period, unless he got a new contract. Right. And you're like, man, you don't really hear that in baseball very often.
No.
Especially with a guy who has never pitched a full season. 146 innings last year, far and away the most in his career.
Yeah, do you want the year by year? It might be, I don't know if we've actually read it. Do you want the year by year
yeah.
for Garrett Crochet?
Because
it's pretty underwhelming. So Crochet came up in 2020. He was a first round pick in 2020. I don't believe he pitched a game in the minors. He was immediately in the major leagues from the University of Tennessee. Now it was a weird year, COVID.
Yeah, right.
He pitched five games, six innings in 2020. That includes, in addition, he also pitched 2/3 of an inning
in
the postseason. Did not allow a run.
Didn't allow a run.
2021. He appeared in 54 games out of the bullpen, 54 and a third innings. He then needed Tommy John surgery, missed all of 2022, came back late in 2023, pitched in 13 games, again, all out of the bullpen, 12.2 innings. Last year, first full year as a starter, 32 games started, 146 innings, but he was basically shut down in the second half. He pitched. He wouldn't pitch more than twice through the order, and so that's his one outlier season. He's had injuries in the past. And, you know, maybe with his frame and or delivery, you could assume there will be more injuries in the future. He only has 2 years of term. He wants to be paid. He would not agree to a trade, as you pointed out, Keith, without a contract extension last year. That's what his agent was circulating around Major League Baseball. And there's not a long track record for success. Plus, you paid a haul in terms of the prospects you gave up. So I love the move. I'm on board with the move. I'm happy they're doing it. But you do have to acknowledge there's risk. I think it's worth the risk.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of risk with this guy.
No, there is. And like to your point about, you know, second half of the season, starting in July, he maxed out at 4 innings per game.
Yeah, some of now, us found that out in real time, betting the over on his strikeout props.
For
he,
sure.
was, he was throwing 3 and 4 innings a game.
Yeah, he was throwing 4 innings a game, and he still struck out like 51% of his outs were strikeouts.
I mean, the guy.
Dude, he had a 9 strikeout game. He had an 8. He had a 6. He had a couple of 8s, a 7. And this was all 4 innings max.
That's a lot of snowmen.
Oh, yeah, he lost snowman.
Well, I mean, just snowman.
Early in the season, he had a bunch of double-digit games where he was throwing 6-7.
Probably against the Red Sox.
I mean, May and June, he basically was a quality start plus, like, 10 Ks, like, almost every game.
Yeah.
So he's nasty. And so I look at it as, yeah, there's some red flags, but it's also a pitcher who's young and had Tommy John, and you got to be kind of careful with these guys. That's just how it goes. Also, he was on a horrible team last year, so they didn't trade him. So how insane would it have been if they just, like, pitched his arm off and, like, hey, go for 300 Ks? Like, that would be insane because you're going for nothing and you're lowering his trade value and all that. So I think it's great. The Red Sox farm system is very good, and they just traded away one of their big four. But go up and down that list. Not a lot of pitchers.
No.
And look at the guys that are in the rotation right now. I think we've probably all been sold a bill of goods on Brian Bayo. He might only max out as, like, a end-of-the-rotation type of guy. Houck and Crawford are coming off of career years, which is great, but we'll see how they respond. They needed a guy like this. He has the best stuff out of all the guys on the staff, maybe even all the guys that were available. Again, I like Burns. Burns is more consistent, but like
we both prefer him to Fried.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And so they just spent, the Braves just spent $218 million, or the Yankees spent $218 on Fried. I'd absolutely take Garrett Crochet, knowing that he hasn't really done it, but I think there's a chance that he could, and he's your automatic opening day starter, which to me is something that's important.
Unless they're not done.
Unless they go bigger.
Unless they're signing Burns or swinging a deal for one of these Mariners pitchers. Real quick, just because if you're not familiar with Garrett Crochet, I don't blame you. The White Sox were horrible last year.
They stunk.
Sounds like a younger Chris Sale with injuries, is what the text line said.
He's actually our Hoss of the week.
He's the complete opposite from a physical standpoint, a frame standpoint.
He's like 100 pounds heavier than Chris Sale.
He's left-handed.
Yep, left-handed and tall.
He's a White Sox.
And tall.
He's had injuries. Sale actually was never hurt with Chicago.
No,
people
Sale
assumed
was
he was going to get hurt. But, yeah, no, this guy's a hoss.
Very different because Sale
was a string bean.
But Sale also had multiple top five, top three Cy Young finishes before he got to the Red Sox. It was much more of a finished product. But he was a bargain. So, like, the same idea, like, big lefty or tall lefty. Sale's not big, but he's tall lefty. lot of big strikeout guy, and you're getting them before they hit their big contract. And Sale pitched for that contract.
Yep.
And then they got to him and they gave him a ton of money. They actually got to him a year early. They didn't need to even pay him as soon as they did. And then Garrett Crochet, we shall see. But after talking to Breslow, it doesn't sound like they're in a rush to sign
him. It wasn't a prerequisite to trade for Crochet to hammer out a deal. I mean, that was clear after talking to Breslow. Again, that's up on the Odyssey app or on YouTube. Seek those out. I'm sure you'll hear more of that before the show is out. Should the Red Sox pay Crochet? Doesn't sound like they're going to, but should they? And are they done? These are things we've discussed all day long. It's neck and neck, our top story on the show today, along with Bill Belichick to the University of North Carolina. We'll get to your Red Sox phone calls and more on Bill to UNC. Why doesn't the NFL want him? Why does the NFL hate him? That's next.